If you are looking for even more help and guidance on your breakup, I have a few different options for you to take your healing to the next level. I have 4 different online courses depending on what stage of the breakup that you're in, from beginning all the way into moving on after heartbreak. Or you can bundle all of my courses together and use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. I also have my 30-day no contact challenge to help hold you accountable in going no contact with your ex. And we have our free Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with other people going through breakups all over the world. To learn more about any of these resources, head to the show notes where you can learn more about my courses, take the quiz to figure out which course is best for you, or join the Facebook group. And don't forget to use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. Welcome to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast with your host, Breakup Bestie, aka me, Kendra. Breakups are hard, but you don't have to do it alone. Each week, I will be taking you through a different topic as it relates to breaking up, healing from heartbreak, growing in your single life, dating, and getting back into happier and healthier relationships. The goal of this show is to provide support, hope, tips, and to remind you that above all, this too shall pass. Welcome back to another listener episode of the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. Today is a really important story to be told. Today I have listener Jana, who is from Slovakia, and we talk about her story of being with someone, a beautiful relationship for 7 months, and then all of a sudden his behavior changed very significantly. And long story short, he was diagnosed with schizoaffective disorder. And so we're talking about leaving a relationship because of your partner's mental illness, and which is a very touchy subject. And, you know, Jana is very candid about the guilt that she carried for doing it and the responsibility that she felt. But at the end of the day, she says it so beautifully at one part. She says, it was either him or me. Her depression got so bad because of his behavior. And she just essentially had to come to realize that the two of them just were not compatible in a relationship together. And I really love how transparent she is about how she's still not fully over him, and she still loves and cares about him a lot, but ultimately had to make the hard decision to choose herself in this scenario. And I know a lot of people deal with that, whether your ex had depression or has bipolar disorder or is dealing with substance use disorder. There are just so many instances like this, and I think it can be frowned upon to take care of yourself and leave something that's no longer serving you. But in reality, sometimes that is what we have to do. So I'm, again, very, very grateful to Jana for coming on and sharing this very important and not super rare story. Welcome, Jana, to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. It's such a pleasure to have another. I think this is, you're the second international listener guest we've had on. So such an honor to have you on today.
Thank you, Kendra. I'm so excited to be here.
Could you start off by just sharing a little bit about you so we can get to know you a little bit better?
So I'm from Slovakia. I lived all around the world, currently in Prague, but I was in London for 5 years. I'm still planning to come back. And I work as an assistant producer for TV production. So I'm also traveling a lot because of my job. And I just turned 30 this year. But I'm actually excited about it. I'm trying to think about it like in a positive way.
Yeah. Well, you have a very exciting life just off the cuff hearing that. So, but, you know, obviously the reason that you're on this podcast is because you went through a breakup. So could you talk a little bit about the relationship that you were in, maybe how it started, how you guys met, and kind of how it evolved from there?
So we met through Bumble, actually. Okay. And at the beginning, when we were dating, I was thinking that this guy is so boring. Like, oh. I didn't think so that there is going to be a relationship, because he was so different like other guys I dated. Like, he was very consistent. He was planning dates. He was like the perfect guy you should go for. But I just don't know why. Like, I was just like, I don't know. Like, I think because I was always dating very emotionally unavailable men. This was like different for me. But I decided like, okay, I'm going to try it. And it was great. It was my first like serious relationship, I can say, because I met his mom, I met his siblings, he met my friends, and everything was perfect. I mean, we had like little arguments. I was a bit insecure about his Instagram and like women who he's following, but like we always discuss things and we were able to have a good communication. So, and even like my friends, they were like, oh, finally you met someone you deserve, you know, and I was just like, yeah, he's amazing. And I learned a lot with him. So I'm still very thankful for that relationship. And should I talk about breakup now?
Or, yeah. So, well, first off, I think you're like probably the fifth person that's been on the show that said, like, when I first met my ex, I thought, like, no, I don't, this is not the kind of person that I want to date. And I think that's good, especially if you have like a history. I was the same where I like was very attracted to emotionally unavailable people. So it is, it does seem boring. Boring's a great word to use because they are consistent. There's little arguments, but nothing crazy. Your emotions are somewhat even keeled throughout the relationship, which if you're not used to that, if you're really used to the high highs and the low lows, that can feel really foreign and strange and boring. And it can feel like, I remember thinking, oh, there's no intensity in this relationship. They must not really like me because I don't feel any kind of intensity. But we forget to recognize that we felt good intensity and bad intensity. And sometimes it's okay to have no intensity and just to have consistency. But I think that's an important point. And yeah, if you could talk a little bit about, maybe start with why the breakup happened and then trace us back a little bit to how it, I guess, how it started.
Yes. So the breakup happened because of his mental health. And it was kind of like a long process breakup. It took 3 months till we finally broke up.
Yeah.
So I went for a like hiking trip with my girlfriends and I was away for 10 days and then I got back and he was so different. Like he was very stressed. He started to play rugby again, like more like on a professional basis because he used to play, but more like a hobby. But when I was away, he was like, okay, I'm just going to, you know, go for like every match and like for every like training session and stuff. And I got back and he was so stressed and like, just like, I just didn't recognize him. I was like, who is this person, right? Like he was very like nervous and like a bit, I don't say like manipulative, but a bit like I was just like, what's going on? He was talking very badly about his friends, which never happened before. Like he was always talking highly about his friends and also about his family. And I just didn't understand what's going on. And then we had an argument. He accused me that I actually like one of his friends. And I just didn't understand. And I was like, okay, like I think I just need some time. And then he accused me that I slept with my flatmate, which was again something which I literally didn't know where it come from, because he met my flatmate when we had a barbecue at the house, and you know, they were talking, and I thought that they're gonna be best friends and he's gonna like come to my house to hang out with my flatmate rather than with me. So I was very surprised that he was telling me all of these things. And I still didn't know what's going on.
Was there any jealousy like before this all happened, or this was just completely out of nowhere?
Out of nowhere. This was out of nowhere. Like he was very like trusting person. I think it was mostly me before who was not jealous, but a bit insecure about like the Instagram. Yeah. So that's why I was normal. Surprised. Yeah. I was like, where did this come from? You know? And then we went to the shopping center because I wanted to buy something for my little niece. And he was just so like abusive. Like he was grabbing my hand, like, come here, like, don't do this. And I was scared. I was literally scared. And I felt like I just want to cry. And I thought that maybe he is a narcissistic person. And yeah, like I didn't know what's going on. And then he literally got angry. He left. And then he sent me a breakup message. And this was, I think this was at the end of July. And I was in shock. I was like, okay, so after like 7 months, you're gonna break up through the text message. And I didn't know what's going on. Then obviously he was trying to call me and he was apologizing and he was sending me messages. And for me, this was totally opposite what experienced for last 7 months. So I was shocked and I decided to go home to Slovakia for 2 weeks. And I've spoken to his sister and I told her that, hey, I think I need to block him because he doesn't respect my boundaries. He was still calling me and texting me, even though he was the one who broke up with me. And I really wanted to do 30 days non-contact. I wasn't able. Like after 2 weeks, he left me actually voicemail because I didn't like, even though when you block someone, they can leave you voicemail, which I wasn't aware of. And he just sounded so down, and I just felt sorry for him. And I actually remember that I DM'd you that time, and you recommended me one of your episodes, which I listened. But because I heard his voicemail, I was like, oh, like I need to see him. He's not, he's not well.
Did he have any explanation? So he broke up with you and then started trying to get you back. Did he have any explanation as to why his behavior had changed so drastically? Was he the one that said, I struggle with mental health? Like, was there any awareness on his part of what was going on?
No, and he was still accusing me even this time. So I met with him mostly because I was worried that he's gonna do something. And then when we met, he actually told me he got schizoaffective personality disorder, which I didn't know what is it. I thought it's like schizophrenia, but then he told me it's not. And I did my research and I literally like I read like all websites about this diagnosis. I've spoken to my therapist about it. I contacted like, some Instagram therapists and like I just wanted to sort things out and I wanted to help him.
Can you give a little background on what skits just I don't think I'm even familiar with it. Can you give what it is?
So schizoaffective personality disorder is a mix of schizophrenia and bipolar. The difference between schizophrenia is that schizoaffective is coming in episodes, at least that's what I read. So they can be normal for 2 or 3 years and then they have this episode,
Where they get manic and then the schizophrenia kind of kicks in.
And I think that manic episode is like the worst with like all the hallucination they can have. And I know that there are two types. So there's one which is more like depressed, and then there's this bipolar that they have also mania and depression with the hallucination and voices. Yeah, and then we were both crying when he told me that because I think that it was kind of like a light moment for him. And he started to take his medication. And I kind of thought that with medication, it's gonna be quick fix, but it wasn't. And so after we met again, accusation started again. And I was just like, hey, I think I really need time because this is not working. And then he came to my house, but I wasn't home. There was my flatmate, and she got anxious and she was calling me and she was like, oh, you have to call him. So then I unblocked him again because, yeah, I blocked him before. And I told him, like, hey, like, you really, like, can't do this. And he said he just really wants to, like, stay in touch. And I was like, I didn't really know what to do, and I felt like I was too like vulnerable, and I didn't know. I had that hope that we can sort it out. And then I'm just trying to remember what happened. Like so many things happened during those 3 months. It was like this on and off. And then I think it was like beginning of September, he wanted to like meet again, and I went for the work trip to Bristol. And he was literally like, again, like his paranoia just went so high. Like, he didn't believe me that I'm in Bristol, so I had to send him the location on WhatsApp that I am in Bristol. And he didn't want to believe me that I went there for the work trip. And it was just like, it was too much. And during this period, so it was like, what, August and September, like, it had such a big impact on me that I was depressed. And I have like suicidal thoughts. And I was just like, I can't continue. Like, I wanted to be there for him, but I can see the impact on myself. Like, I wasn't able to cope at work. I actually asked at work if I can work from abroad and go back home. So that's why I'm actually now in Prague. It's not really home, but it's kind of closer to home. And so I was like, I met with him and I wanted to end it face to face. And he was telling me how much he loves me, but I was trying not to tell him back. And I literally left. And the next day, he was at my house.
Oh my
And
gosh.
he was angry. He said that he didn't take his medication that day. He thinks that I slept with his stepfather, which I never met his stepfather. And he didn't want to leave. Even when I said that I'm going to call the police, he said he's not leaving.
How
And I
scary.
just, yeah. And I just didn't feel like I want to call the police. So I called his sister and she said, okay, I'm going to come and pick him up. So I actually took him inside and we were sitting in the living room. And then the police came and I was like, wait a minute. Like, I didn't call the police. Like, who called the police? And it was actually his sister and his mom.
Okay.
Because they worried, like, what can happen till she comes. And it was such a traumatic experience. They were there for like 2 hours talking to me, talking to him. We were waiting for his sister, then she comes, then like they were interviewing her. Like, and yeah, it was just so difficult. And he didn't want to go home because he was scared what he's going to do if he's going to be by himself. He didn't want to go to his mom's place. He didn't want to go to his sister. He wanted to stay with me. But then I was just like, I can't.
Yeah.
And then police actually took him to the hospital and he stayed there for 3 weeks, which was very good for both of us. And there was actually a time when I started my stand-up comedy course. But just to finish on this is that, yeah, he came after he was released from the hospital, but I wasn't home again. Like, I don't know why he always came when I wasn't home.
It's like, the universe protecting you.
Yeah. And he brought flowers and a lot of chocolates and a lot of my favorite stuff. So I was just like, oh, damn. But I still didn't contact him. And then 1 month passed and he showed up again. Again, I wasn't home. And then I actually reached out after, like, I think 6 weeks that we can meet. And he was back to normal. He's actually back to normal now. But I just told him that I can't go back.
Yeah.
I think he needs regular therapy. And he said he has done a lot of therapy before, but he doesn't really want to commit to regular therapy. He thinks, like, medication and gym is going to sort things out.
Yeah.
And I'm scared that it would happen again. So that's the story. But
Ooh.
How I get through this, as I mentioned, was the stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
Which
that's
is
amazing.
Kind of...
What made you want to start that?
So I actually wanted to try it, I think, since I was in high school. But
okay.
I never had, like, I did, like, public speaking in Slovakia. And a bit like amateur theater. I never thought that I can be funny. And last year, I actually tried open mic like twice. And I got very good feedback from people. But then I've been traveling because of work. And this year, I wanted to sign up for this comedy course. But again, I'm supposed to go to Saudi Arabia because of work for like a couple of weeks. And I'm just like, oh, the course is like 6 weeks. I'm not going to make it. And then literally, like, when there was this day with the police and That day, actually, my company told me, oh, we're going to put you on another production. So filming is going to be mostly in Europe, so you won't go to Saudi. And then I just got like on Instagram, like comedy school. And I said, oh, that's the course I wanted to sign up for. And I literally signed up for that. It was kind of funny because like that evening with police was so traumatic. And the next day I supposed to go for the first day of this course like, and prepare some material and be funny. But we had very good teacher and he actually told us that the most traumatic experience can make the best comedy.
Yeah.
And I was trying to, like work with that and trying to like not make fun of him or his disease, but like
Yeah.
how it went and how it's going with me and my experience with all of this. And yeah, I'm still on my journey to be a comedian.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It is so important to share your thoughts and feelings while going through a breakup, especially if it's something you're feeling any guilt or shame around. I know whenever I'm struggling with a certain thought or situation and I keep it to myself, it gets heavier and heavier and feels harder and harder to manage. I truly believe we are as sick as our secrets. Therapy has always been a safe space for me to have a judgment-free zone to get things off my chest. Whether it's something from my past, a current struggle, or something I'm anxious about in the future, I always feel lighter when I'm able to share something that feels scary. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/heartbreak today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/heartbreak. The last time I went through a breakup, I know my mom was someone I was really able to lean on and get support from. She has always been a rock for me through heartbreak and everything in between. And with Mother's Day right around the corner, I wanted to share an idea of something super special that you can gift to your mom. MyLifeInABook.com is a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Every week, they will email your mom a question, and she can either type out an answer or record one. And at the end, MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And they can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. I gifted my mom this, and it means so much to me that I can not only learn so many of her stories, but also preserve them for my kids and future generations. My mom has already talked about how fun it's been for her to reflect on her past and think about things that she hasn't in so long. It even prompted her to dig up some old photos from when she was in the newspaper for being the only female mail carrier in Detroit in the 60s. So cool. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code HEARTBREAK at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. Use code HEARTBREAK for 10% off today. It's like being able to kind of see the insanity of it all and just be able to, I don't know, having any kind of outlet like that, like writing or speaking or comedy or any kind of art is therapeutic, and it's a way to get those experiences and feelings out of you where it's going to weigh on you and eventually, really take a toll. Being able to kind of flush it out in a way that is therapeutic, I think is incredible. And I want to go back and ask kind of the normal questions that I get from people who do have an ex that struggled with that. Is how did you let go? So that day, like where he didn't want to go to his mom's, he didn't want to go to his sister's, he was scared to be by himself. How did you let go of this? And I'm going to use quotes responsibility because it wasn't your responsibility, but a lot of people feel that way. How did you let that go and make that choice to say, like, you can't be here, right? This isn't going to work.
I think because a couple of days before that happened, I actually spent night with him and he was literally waking me up every half an hour, asking me questions with who I was there. And again, like a lot of accusations. And I felt that I'm so weak. And as I mentioned, I had like suicidal thoughts. So when he appeared at my house, I was just like it's me or him. Like
Yeah.
I can't do that. And I have to say, like, I still love him. I still care, you know, about him. And he even, like, yeah, he even contacted me today, like, how am I doing? In, like, very normal, like, friendly way. And I replied, and we just both, like, wished each other, like, nice, like, week. And I told him that I think it's the best if we don't contact each other. But yeah, it's a very difficult one, because also I would like to have kids in the future, and I know that there's like 90% chance that kids can have this diagnosis or can have some mental illness. There was another thing, like traveling. Like, I love to travel, and he likes to travel, like, short term, you know, like trips. But for example, I would love to go to South America and, you know, for a couple of months. And he's a bit scared, you know. And I understand, because before I didn't really understand why, but now with his diagnosis, I understand why he's scared, because you never know what can happen. And there's still that paranoia, you know. So yeah, we are not compatible. I still think that he's not a bad person. And yeah.
That's a really important point. I'm really glad you said like we're just not compatible. And I had someone in my life that whose partner was dealing with schizophrenia and bipolar, and it was so hard because it's like she loves him as a person and loves him as a partner. And that's the thing. And I think you even wrote this in your like application, but like obviously people who deal with mental health, like they deserve relationships, they deserve love, they deserve all of the things. So I think it can be really hard to disconnect how it's impacting you because you just want to give this person love and you obviously want to help this person, but realizing like it doesn't have to be you know, like even on top of the impact that it had on you, which can be hard to recognize because theirs is so glaring and it feels like yours maybe is minimized in comparison, but realizing, wow, this is very much impacting me and this would impact me for the rest of our lives together. And, you know, you'll find someone, he'll find someone, but I think just recognizing that it's a compatibility. It's not necessarily like he's bad, he's wrong, there's something wrong with him. It's more, I'm just not the person that's able to have this partner in my life, you know?
Yeah. I think for me, difficult part was that I didn't have anyone who would understand. Like, some of my friends, they were like, all of my friends were very supportive. But I know, like, some of my friends, they literally hated him because they are like, oh, he should have told you, you know, he should have told you, like, maybe after like 3 months would you are together. And I understand, and I think, yeah, he should. But on the other side, it's such a like severe diagnosis that I think it's so difficult for that person to say that. And he was managing that very well. Like, he told me that he actually stopped taking his medication last year. So he was like the whole year without medication, and he was doing well. So I just can't be angry on him, you know? Like,
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you have such a sense of like compassion for him. And it is, it's, I think from the outside, it's easy to, you know, I can imagine friends saying, what are you doing? This is, you know, adding so much chaos and things to your life. Why can't you just cut them out? But it's really not, it's not that simple. And, you know, we look at, thank God mental health is becoming so much more in the forefront of that. But I don't know, it just makes it a lot more difficult to be able to cut someone out of your life, even though they're doing all of the things that in a normal world you would say, like, oh, I can't be with a partner like that. But it does, it makes it more complicated. So I think you
yeah.
navigated it tremendously well. And, you know, I'm glad you didn't take, I think that's often what people do. They take responsibility for their ex and think,
I
okay,
felt
if
so
I,
guilty,
yeah, I had a
I have to
lot of
say.
guilt.
I have so much guilt, because I was thinking, okay, if this man, you know, have a cancer, or like he, you know, has to be on a wheelchair. Like, I wouldn't break up with him because, you know, I love him and I can see him as my future partner. Like, we were planning to live together next year. So it was very like my first serious relationship, and I never felt about someone like I felt about him. So I felt so guilty that I literally don't want to be with him because of his mental health. But then again, it had such a big impact on my mental health that I had to make the decision. And it was so difficult, and it still is. Like, I can say I'm not 100% over him. Like,
yeah,
I still,
and that's normal,
think about him sometimes. Even when he contacted me today, I was actually happy that he contacted me. And I know it's like, it's a bit like weird because my friends are like, block him, you know, like don't talk to him because then you can't move on. But I just can't block him now, because now he just wants to like check on me if I'm okay. It's not like that he would be accusing me. And he really apologized for everything what he said.
Yeah.
So, yeah, slowly getting there.
Yeah. It's just one of those stories where it's like, there's not a bad guy in this story. It's a sad story. It's a sad story of a relationship not working. And I think sometimes we get so hyper fixated on the person who ended it is the bad person, and the person who was on the other side was a victim in it. And it's, you know, unfortunately, nothing's that cut and dry, especially when it comes to, you know, relationships. And, you know, someone who this might be like a different thing if he was struggling with drugs or alcohol, even though it's the same thing, it's still like a mental health thing. Just the perception of all of it can really get messy, and I know can weigh on people. So I appreciate that you saying that you felt guilty or still feel guilty about it, and that it's an ongoing struggle. But, you know, in the end, you have nothing to feel guilty about. It's, you have to, like you said, it was either him or you. And you know, you can't, if you did sacrifice your, you know, sanity for this relationship years down the road, I just can't imagine how that would turn out. Well, you would likely feel resentful at yourself, at him. You would not recognize who you were anymore, because you would have had to let so much of yourself go in order to make that work.
Yeah. And I was also worried that what if, again, like he feels like he can manage the situation and he's going to stop taking his medication again, you know, and I don't want to be here like a bad cop that I'm going to like check if he's taking his medication every day, you know, like that's not what I sign up for.
Yeah, and that's not a partner. I mean, you're not signing up to be their parent. You're signing up to be their partner.
Yeah, and I mean, he promised that he's not going to stop taking medication, but you never know.
Never know.
Like, there's the thing. And as I mentioned before, like, I told him probably 1,000 times about therapy, because I think if he would be on therapy, it wouldn't happen that he would stop taking medication. But again, it has to be his decision. It can't be mine. I can't force him to do that. But what I wanted to say is as well that what helped me a lot is my decision to move out from London, because when I met him after he came from hospital, like after those 6 weeks, I think so, he was so normal again, how he used to be, that I think it would be so easy for me to get back with him.
Yeah.
So what I've done is that I physically moved myself from him, and it's helping me a lot, and it's helping me to be with my closest friends who know me for, you know, since I was little, and with my family. And actually, what I want to say one more thing. So when I was so depressed, there were like two things what I was able to do, and it's going to the gym, and I was listening to your podcast.
Aww.
And I was doing those squats. Okay, this sounds weird that I was doing squats and listening to your voice.
Hey, whatever it takes. What a cool full circle moment, though, that you can come on here now and share your story and help, you know, someone else who's working out or on a walk listening to the podcast. Because like I said, this has been a story that I've wanted to have on the podcast because I know you're not the only person that has had to walk away from someone. And there's unfortunately a lot of like that relationship should be sacrificial, which in some ways, you know, they are, where you're compromising and, you know, you're doing all those things, but they should never be sacrificial to yourself and your mental well-being. And there's also something to be said about all the things that you saw. I mean, you went through so many like traumatic, I mean, that would be so scary to break up with someone and then the next day they're in your house. That's like, honestly, that's like out of a horror movie for some people. And so for all the things that you saw, to tell yourself that you need to let all of that go and just like blindly trust that it would never happen again, that would be really difficult. So I just can't imagine a space where that could work out differently.
Yeah. And also the warning sign was when my mom started to be like, started to worry, because my mom usually, like, she doesn't really care like who I'm seeing or dating.
Yeah.
And but she has spoken to one of my sister and she told her like, please just tell me that she's not gonna go back to him. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
This is kind of worrying. Because I also don't really talk about, like, I think he was the second guy I actually mentioned to my parents.
Mm-hmm.
But like the most like serious one that I really wanted to bring him home and stuff. So when my mom like said this to my sister, I was like, okay, this wouldn't be good to go back.
Yeah, I think you've handled this whole thing really well. And even the way that you, because I also like, was it hard to talk to your friends about it? Because you had to skate the line of not wanting to talk badly about him, because obviously he's, you know, he's really struggling too, but then also being able to honor your struggles. I think that's a hard thing that people go through. And a lot of the times they don't end up actually telling their close friends and family what actually happened.
And also the fact that my, because it happened so many times that I block him and then, you know, he showed up in my house. So I unblock him because I wasn't home, but my flatmate was home. And she told me like, okay, he was here, you should talk to him. And I just felt like I'm somewhere in the middle. And mm-hmm. I know that my flatmates didn't mean it wrong, but I also understand that she wasn't okay, that he's always coming to my house. And I'm not there and she is there. And then I just didn't know what to do. And that was very difficult as well.
Yeah.
I felt like, I don't know how you say it, like that you are pushed to the wall or.
Yeah. Like your back was against the wall. Yeah.
Yeah. Back against the wall. that's the saying.
Well, I'm so grateful that you came on and shared your story. And I know this will help a lot of people, even just, I think being able to validate that you're like, people aren't alone in going through that. I mean, I get messages all the time about people who, you know, I don't know what to do. My ex, you know, said they can't be without me, but like, I can't go over there. I don't know what to do. So I think this is such a great lesson, and it's okay to take care of yourself. It's okay to honor what you need. And it doesn't mean that you hate the other person and that you're trying to be mean to the other person. You clearly still have so much love and compassion for your ex. This was just a strict decision on compatibility at the end.
Yeah. I found actually one successful story. Maybe there is more.
Yeah.
But I found a podcast with a couple, and the man has a schizoaffective personality disorder, depression type one. And they were together, I think, since high school. So I think he got like his symptoms quite late, but they have three kids. They've been in a relationship like 15 years. But the thing what they're doing is, again, he goes to therapy regularly and mm-hmm. they go to couple therapy as well. So I think there can be successful stories, but.
But both people have to be on board for it, you know?
Exactly.
Even when you said about the difference in like desires for travel and stuff, like, it wasn't even just, I think if we looked at it, it wasn't even just the difference between him having a diagnosis and it affecting you. It's like, we can look at kind of the broader picture. Like, there probably was some other incompatibilities, but I think it's beautiful that people are able to make that work. And people can change. People get on medication, they go to therapy, they change. Like, I'm always someone to advocate for, in my case, like alcoholics and addicts, like people can get sober. And, but unfortunately, there's like broken relationships in the path of that. And again, it doesn't make anyone wrong. It's just that's that, you know, when you're dealing with something like a serious diagnosis or an addiction, sometimes the journey, you know, ends up having to burn some bridges on the way.
Yeah. And also like the healing journey is so long, like it can't happen just in 1-2 months. But when Absolutely. You mentioned the sobriety, so that's what I actually liked about him, that he doesn't drink and I don't drink. So there was great. another thing which I think we connected a lot at the beginning. Because it's kind of difficult when you date in London, like everybody wants to go for a drink. And I'm I don't really want to drink.
I think those things that you learn, and even the things you were saying, what you liked so much about him in the beginning, those are all things that are, in some ways, you broke patterns because you went with someone who was emotionally available. And in some ways, you just learned new things that you liked in a partner and things that won't work in a partnership. So at the end of the day, it's all very valuable learning lessons.
Yeah. And also that maybe like another thing what I learned is that I was too insecure and I didn't have any reason. So I know that for the next one, I don't need to be insecure about Instagram, which means nothing. And I can actually see a lot of women care about it. But yeah, I think if that partner really loves you, can also just, you know, he can change his behavior on social media. Like, it's always about communication.
Yeah. I think there's also something interesting about the fact that sometimes when we have a behavior and then we see it in someone else, like in your case was so extreme where he was like really insecure and accusing you of like things all the time. Sometimes when we see it, even if it is that very magnified version, it can be like, I never want to come across like that. I don't want to be like accusatory. That, yeah. I don't want to come off that way. So sometimes it takes for us to see it in someone else for us to realize that we don't want to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Because there was too much.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was like really like before like I knew about the diagnosis, I was like, came from like, oh, like I never met his, you know, stepfather. Like, yeah. And the thing is like, funny enough, like he accused me of liking his friend. And that was the friend which I liked the least from all of his friends. Because that guy is like total fuckboy. And like why would I like that guy? Like, never. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's so funny.
About it.
Exactly. Yes, I know. And even though it still hurts now, it's like, I think you're a great example of healing in progress, and like we can find happiness and clarity and all of those things throughout every step of the breakup healing process. Like, it doesn't all have to come at the very end, which I think a lot of people forget. They think, okay, I can't feel this way until I'm fully over it. But the truth is, like, I can't even tell what it means to be fully over an ex. It's just different for everyone. It's just a feeling.
Yeah. I still have your words in my head, like this shall pass.
Yes, that's still my favorite one. I still have to say that one to myself all the time. This too shall pass. It's so important. Well, Yana, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story. I really, really appreciate it. And can't wait for others to be validated and feel comfort in your story too.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you loved it, I hope you'll leave a review and share with your friends. If you're not already following me on Instagram, head to @yourbreakupbestie, where I'm sharing new content almost every day. To join our Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with thousands of people from all over the world going through breakups, head to the link in the show notes. And don't forget to check out my online courses for more in-depth help through your healing journey. I always end these episodes the same way, reminding you to be nice to yourself, stay connected with loved ones, and the biggest reminder is that this too shall pass. I promise.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.